I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang of Gatestone Institute, Newsweek, and other distinguished publications such as The Hill, joins me, and we welcome to help us understand new movement by the Biden administration with our Asian partners and adversaries, Scott Harrell. Scott is a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation. Scott, a very good evening to you. And what we have now are moving parts of the new Biden administration, Secretary of State Mr. Blinken and General, now Mr. Secretary of Defense Austin. First to Korea. What is the mission in Korea for these senior members of the cabinet? Good evening, Scott.
Good evening, John and Gordon, and to your listeners around the world, John, and welcome to CBS. I think that one of the core missions of the 2+2, or the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense meeting with their ministerial counterparts in Japan and Korea, is going to be to ensure that the U.S. and its closest and most important allies and partners in Northeast Asia are synchronized on the key questions of the region. First and foremost, how to put in place a calm, strategic, disciplined, competitive policy towards dealing with the threat of a rising aggressive China. And then on the Korean part in particular, to ensure that we have at least a coordinated position on dealing with the other major threat in the region, that being North Korea and its development of nuclear weapons, ballistic missiles, and conventional capabilities.
Gordon, you're thinking about watching Mr. Blinken and Mr. Austin go to Japan and Korea. How would this be interpreted in Xi Jinping's Beijing, Gordon?
Well, I think the important thing is that we're going to our allies first rather than speaking to China first, because in previous administrations long back, American officials, American presidents would, as they say, fly over Japan to go to China. That's no longer the case, and that is significant.
You have a question for Scott, Gordon.
Scott, in the last couple of weeks or so, the Biden administration actually settled a long-running dispute with South Korea over the reimbursement of American forces in the South. Do you think that's going to be significant going forward in mending relations, or do we have other problems with Seoul which will take precedence?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Gordon, to say that this is an enormously important development in the last few weeks. I would like to say that it was not a dispute with South Korea, although I think the two sides were in a disagreement about the amount of money South Korea should offer in support of U.S. forces that are posted in that nation. But you are certainly right to say that it has consequences not only for the relationship with South Korea, where we still face other issues like, for example, how we deal with North Korea or how we deal with China, or even potentially whether or not we transfer operational control soon or only after a more lengthy period of time with the Combined Forces Command in South Korea. But it also has enormous consequences for our relationship with Japan. Japan also hosts even more U.S. forces than South Korea, almost twice as many. And South Korea's model of a five-year deal with the United States will help to inform the negotiations the U.S. will be initiating with Japan later this year. So certainly ensuring that we're not squabbling with our allies over a few $100 million here or there in the course of relationships between countries with trillions and sometimes multiple trillion-dollar economies is hugely important, in no small part because it sends a message to China and North Korea that the allies are in fact on the same page and are not engaged in petty squabbles over small amounts of money, being penny wise but pound foolish.
Scott, I'm most concerned with the Tokyo conversation with the new prime minister, the new leadership there. Is there any reason to expect any disruption in the building of the Quad when dealing with Tokyo?
Well, I think the Japanese administration of Suga Yoshihide is very much, John, and I think we've talked about this before, a successor to the Abe administration. The Abe Shinzo administration had as its chief cabinet secretary Suga Yoshihide, so he's very well versed in how the relationship has developed over the last 8 or 9 years. And I think that they are very happy to see the approach taken by the new Biden team, which is very much, again, as I said, a disciplined, focused, competitive approach that neither imagines that the right phrasing or the right symbolic outreach to China can serve to unlock some sort of cooperation, nor does it only paint China as exclusively an enemy to be balanced against in every conceivable way. Not to say that the United States does not have a very clear understanding of what threat China represents, but countries in the region, including even Japan, want to know that the United States will present at least a face to China that says, if you will cooperate on terms that we can all live with, the cooperation in that space can, to some extent, tamp down the upward escalatory pressures on a worsening relationship that I think many would in the region, of course, are not willing to see or not eager to see because they don't have the capacity to constrain it. Only ultimately the United States and China can constrain it. So many of the actors in the region that would participate in the Quad want to see a very firm, disciplined, competitive approach that is not only about competition, even though it is overwhelmingly about competition.
Gordon?
Scott, the United States has an alliance relationship with Japan. We have a separate alliance relationship with South Korea. But South Korea and Japan are not allies. One of the big topics for conversation in Seoul is going to be the tripartite relationship, trying to get everyone to cooperate with each other. Where do you see Seoul on this discussion of relations with Tokyo?
Well, you know, Gordon, I think the South Korean administration of Moon Jae-in is first and foremost focused, as you know very well, on inter-Korean relations, and particularly on trying to incentivize Pyongyang to do what South Korea wants, to move towards unification on some terms that might be marginally acceptable. Frankly, they have in their administration many people who are very unhappy with the historical issues as well as the current posture of the Japanese government and have been very happy to try to politicize that at points in time. I think there are those who also recognize that ultimately, if the United States is willing to speak out and speak up forcefully and to remind Seoul that the United States has equities too in the cooperative relationship between Seoul and Tokyo, that Seoul will feel compelled to move at least somewhat in the direction of tamping down those tensions. And we have seen some measures of cooperation, for example, on at least surveilling, if not outright stopping, North Korean illegal oil smuggling at sea. Now, that's not to say that the relationship is suddenly going to be hearts and flowers. I think under the Moon administration, that's unlikely. And frankly, it goes well beyond the Moon administration, and it goes beyond the Abe and Suga administrations in Japan. Unfortunately, our two allies do not have enormous reserves of goodwill to draw upon, but there are certainly parts of their relationship where they can and will cooperate if they are given a demand signal from the United States.
Quickly, Scott, the conversation between Mr. Blinken and a representative of the Chinese government on American territory. In a couple of minutes, can you tell us what to listen for and when we get the results of that meeting?
Yeah, so that meeting occurs on Thursday, and Secretary Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan will be meeting with Foreign Minister Wang Yi and State Councilor Yang Jiechi in Alaska. I think it's important to say, you know, this meeting, as Gordon noted, comes after we've met with our allies. It is not being hosted in Washington, D.C. It looks more like a meeting in a relatively, apologies to any Alaskans, but to from the D.C. perspective, it looks like a meeting in a relatively less prestigious, more out-of-the-way location. What that means, I think, will be very clearly interpreted by the Chinese side as we are not giving you the prestige of a high-profile meeting in Washington, D.C. early on. We know that the Biden team did not reach out to Xi Jinping until after it had talked with the overwhelming number of U.S. allies and partners around the world, as well as even Russia. So I think the Biden team has been signaling very clearly to Beijing that it should not expect any degree of privileged access. It cannot assume that its vaguely teased hints of cooperation on important issues will lead to U.S. compromise on core values. And the signaling from Alaska will probably be, we're very much prepared for long-term, what the president has called extreme competition. And I expect the U.S. side will raise many of the issues, including genocide, the threat to Taiwan, and the repression in Hong Kong, as well as a host of other issues that the Chinese side will not be happy about. I expect the Chinese side to come out trying to find some silver lining to what will otherwise be for probably very difficult conversations.
Scott Harold is a senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation, Gordon Chang of Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.